Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of Bear with Leif. I believe episode 33.
Wow.
Yeah, doing it. Or 32. We'll figure it out. I'm joined today by Brian Bahi. Brian, how are you doing?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm very excited to have you on. I will finally be done with ufology. I don't have to have you or Sam on ever again. And we'll be
the
good.
Fans. What if the fans want it though?
The fans don't want it.
Okay.
believe me, if the fans wanted it, and I would be more than happy to have you guys on. You guys are going to be on so much more.
Fans, if you think Sam, Rose, and I should be on Bear with Leif more, tweet at Leif at said Leif on Twitter. LEIF. Chime in,
and then yeah, I'm on board. And I'll, not to mention, like, in a year from now, when I run out of guests or people just stop saying yes to me, you guys are gonna be on it all the time.
I don't think you're gonna run out of guests.
At some point, they're gonna figure it out and be like, "Hey, the gig's up."
There's 8,000 comedians in New York.
There are so many comedians, and they love content.
Yeah.
But oh right, intro. Hey guys. We'll catch you on the flip side. See you guys next week. Bye. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Yeah, I got totally lost in the intro there. Almost went straight into the episode.
Yeah.
So it gets a little cut off, but
my bad.
No, are you kidding me? That was me. I was excited. I literally told you, anytime you have a question, a comment, or anything, go with it. Let's get off the rails. But before we get off the rails, Brian Bahi, what got you to do your first open mic?
That is a great question.
Thank you.
Something I've thought a lot about answering how I would respond to this. I don't know.
I didn't know if you really, or you're just trying to like get some time.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I was I did my first open mic when I was a senior in college at living at home, going to school at ASU. I had been doing improv for about 3 years at the time, two years, 3 years. And I really wanted to do stand up for like, I don't know, maybe like a few months, maybe even a year before I actually like did my first open mic.
Sure.
And, so I just went, there's at the time there wasn't that many open mics in Phoenix. And I went to this open mic in very close to where I went to middle school at, which was weird.
Awesome.
It was like this restaurant slash bar. And I forget how much time. It was a pretty decent amount of time. It was probably like 7 or 8 minutes.
Wow. And for your first open mic.
Yeah. That's impressive. And it was one of those mics where you have to email, but at the time, you had to email like a month before the actual date. Because I think it's because they would give comedians so much time.
Sure, yeah. That and, sounds like a high demand mic.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I went there and I think I got like half of it was like a decent laugh. And then the other half was just people being nice.
Hey, at least they were nice.
Yeah.
That does not happen anymore.
Some
people don't necessarily give that extra bit. That's but like why did you do it? Like what was it in you that was like, oh, I need to try this? Like,
I think there
any story behind that?
Okay, yeah. So I knew I wanted to do comedy.
Okay.
And I was doing comedy through improv.
Sure. Maybe that's a better question. Like what even got you to comedy? Like why, when, how, you said in college, like what got you to that step?
I started doing improv like my sophomore year, junior year of college. And it was like, it was my second year at college, but technically it was my junior year. But I went to college for 5 years.
So, you and me both.
Yeah. So it was my second year at college. And one of my friends took me to go see like the college sketch troupe.
Okay.
And I was just like, they were hilarious. And I remember like, I didn't know doing comedy at that time was even an option. Until I saw them, and once I knew that was an option, that like that was something I could do, I immediately just like wanted, like tried to figure out how I could do that, and the quickest way was to sign up for this improv class.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's very cool. I don't know if I've actually told you and Sam this. I think I've said it on the podcast before. There was a time in my life, like before I did improv, which kind of led me to do stand-up. Like stand-up, like I never thought I would just ever be able to do it. And then I did. I was like, oh, I love this. But at one point, the decision was, am I going to take salsa dancing lessons or am I going to do improv, like an improv class?
Why were those the only two options?
Because they were both kind of expensive. And I was like, I have the time. And there were two things I was like, just trying to kill time. I needed to like get out of my own head and like, just, it was supposed to just be like an an experience. And
yeah,
that was
it.
And it was 50-50 for a couple weeks before I signed up for improv. It was 60-40.
Whoa.
Leaning towards salsa dancing.
Why did
lesson.
You choose improv over salsa?
I think a lot of people that I really like and I think are some of the funniest people I have known in my life had taken classes, and it was just like one of those things that I ended up seeing them, like a few of them in a row, and it was like, you need to take improv classes. Like they've been pushing for so long, like you should really do it. It's something you'd really enjoy. And after a while I was like, all right, I'll do that. Let me try that out. And I signed up for 101, and then obviously the rest is like, here we are, like 5 years later. I'm like doing stand up now and have the podcast stuff. But it was a real close.
Why was salsa on the plate though? Oh, because you just like saw a class.
Yeah. I mean,
advertised and you.
I was at a weird spot in my life where I was real depressed, real sad. I had just got to Jersey City. And ended up getting certified as a yoga instructor.
Oh yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, I've never done this, let's do this. So I did that. And when that was over, I was like, well, what's the next thing
salsa
that I'm gonna do? And I was like, I would love to learn how to salsa dance. I think it's so cool and I would just love how to do it. I don't know how to dance. And in my head, it's like one of those things, like I still don't think I'm funny. It's like, I've been doing comedy now for 5 years. I'm always just kind of like, eh. So before I even started it, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm not funny. I'm going to do salsa dancing. That seems like a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was even after I started doing improv, it was years before I was like, oh, this, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Like I'm going to start taking it, I mean, as seriously as you can take comedy. I said that incorrectly. I take it very seriously. I just think it's funny saying I take comedy seriously.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's something comedic.
I feel weird
about
saying
that
too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Every time I hear myself think that.
Yeah, I'm just like, ah, oh, there's something very funny. There's something inherently funny, and it seems like almost paradoxical.
Hey.
Words.
I have no idea.
But yeah, it was real close.
Can you imagine if you took salsa, you would be hosting a salsa dancing podcast right now? It would have led back to podcasting eventually, but it just like different subjects.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. I always think like I would have had to have found my way eventually to comedy, but I would just be like just starting out right now.
The intro music, instead of it being like burr, 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 it would be like
I like that. I'm okay with that. I would love to try something like that. But yeah, so you started in Arizona.
Yeah.
When did you move to New York City?
I moved here 3 years ago in June.
Okay.
So it's been a little bit more than 3 years. Yeah, I moved here from Washington, D.C. I lived in Washington, D.C. for a year.
Okay.
After I graduated from college.
And what brought you to New York?
comedy. Like I knew, like as soon as I started doing comedy, I became like improv in college. I became obsessed with it, and I devoured any piece of information that I could find on it. And all of everybody I was reading about was in New York. So since then, like for so long, I was like, I'm moving to New York. Like that was the main goal. Yeah, and maybe even more than comedy. I was like, I just want to move to New York.
I ended up moving here just because I got a job, and comedy was just a side thing when it started, but now it's like all I do. I moved here just because of a job. But it's funny too, because for me, I lived in New Jersey, so like the city is New York City to me, and I always forget that it's like, it still surprises me. I'm like, oh, it is literally the city that does not sleep. There are things going on all the time. People are talking about going to shows, like being in shows at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I had a friend who did a 2:30 spot at a comedy club, and he's like, yeah, there were people in the crowd. I'm like, that's insane.
Whoa.
Like
what club?
Yeah.
New York?
Yeah. No, Dangerfields.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, that's insane.
That is crazy.
My another friend told me, he's like, yeah, I got the 5:30 slot, and he's a DJ. I was like, that's cool. Or 4:30 slot. I thought he was talking about in the afternoon. It was AM. He's like, bro, that's like one of the best spots. It's like so much fun. I was like, that sounds
stand up?
No, DJ.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No.
I could see that being a good DJ spot.
Yeah, people are into
Hot 97?
I went to bed. No, DJ like in front of people, like dancing and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Like it's not an early morning thing. It's like, oh, this is the end of the night thing.
Yeah.
I went home and went to bed for I almost slept a whole night and then woke up and went to see his set. I was like, I'm not going to do that.
That's so, where at? Where was it at?
Oh, I don't remember. It was somewhere like in a weird warehouse type loft building in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Like in Bushwick.
Right.
But it was like four years ago, I think it was.
Dominic Fogarty was probably there.
He very well may have been. Oh, that's a guy I gotta talk to. He wants to do some podcast stuff.
Yeah, he goes to a lot of secret raves and stuff.
He is a very strong very strong individual.
Yeah.
Him and Stu, whenever I see them, they remind me of almost like a tag team coming in to like fight for the WWF tag team championship.
Same. I try to get in fights when I'm around either of them.
Oh,
and then
that would be so much fun because they would just tower over it.
Yeah. Not with them, with other people. And then like, assuming they would jump in.
Oh, yeah. It'd be funnier if they didn't. I mean, not for you. That would be a bummer.
No, it would be pretty funny if they didn't.
Yeah. Be like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
So we talked about getting started, coming here, doing that. You did improv.
Yeah.
Now you do stand up. Do you still do improv at all?
No, I did. I was definitely on the fence of I was doing like 50-50 improv stand up when I moved here.
Sure.
And then eventually after about like a year and a half of, you know, just like kind of doing improv, I just like stopped completely. It's still fun. Like,
yeah,
it's almost like I was talking to somebody recently about it. And like, if I see improv, like I haven't seen an improv show, but if I see like a really fun or good improv show, which I haven't, because like I purposely haven't gone to go see improv, like it'll make me want to do improv again.
It's painful.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to try to avoid it as much as possible.
I've got a couple of friends who do it or who have been on teams for a long time. So it's like, they know they're great. And every time I see it, I'm just like, oh, I want that again. And
I do think I got worse at it though.
Yeah. It as time went on.
Yeah.
It happens. I have weird ups and downs where it's like I start thinking too much.
Yeah.
And then I'm terrible for like 4 months. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, fuck it. And then it does well. And I kill it for another 4 months. I mean, I guess it's like stand up. Like I'll just be killing it. New stuff, doing great. And then just plateau for a long time.
Yeah.
I really miss it. It's like a muscle. It's a very specific muscle. Uh-huh. And I need to work it out because it is dead. It is dead. Dead inside me.
It's dead. I'm glad it's dead a little bit. There, I did find a video of some, I forgot how I found it, but somebody posted a video online of like my improv troupe in Arizona doing improv.
Oh, amazing. And what was your team name?
Oh, I'm not even gonna say it because somebody might find it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it was very painful to watch.
It's especially the first few years. Like it's funny because I did my first show and I was like, "All right, we did it. That was fun." I look back on it and just remembering like the moves I did and just be like, "I invited so many people and they all came," and I'm just like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry, everyone." Yeah. But it's your first show. That's what happens,
right?
But it's tough. I want to get back into it. Not to do a lot of shows, because I think my heart is without question still in stand up.
Yeah.
And I love improv, but it's just not the same passion. But I want to do the classes and like at least practice, because it's a great muscle that, as I said, like it's when I was doing improv, I wrote my best material.
I feel like so much of improv is like gelling really well with your other teammates.
Oh, without a doubt.
And that's super hard to do here in New York because there's so many people.
Too many people. Everyone kind of like, has their goal.
Yeah, everyone's kind of like doing 20 different things. So you can't really like, you know, like chill. Or like, I feel like there's a lot of just like group mind that needs to be established over time, and like people don't have time to do that.
Yep. No, it's true. I remember there were two groups I was in for a long period of time. The first group, it was very much like everyone had certain ideas, certain plans, and it definitely did not line up with where I was going.
So
sometimes the group mind for me wasn't quite there. Like some of the people on the team, it was easier. I knew them enough that I was able to get by, but it definitely was on me for not being like in the same spot that they were all were.
Yeah.
But then there was another group that we were all kind of just doing mostly for fun and like we enjoyed it, but we also had other projects we were doing and we're all like type B personalities.
Right.
Or not really. I guess we're all like shy type A personalities. And we had so much fun because we all knew what the goal was. We knew what we were doing. We were on the same boat. And the thing is, we just hang out afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And just so we all knew each other so well that like it was like we were in each other's heads the whole time.
Right.
Given the actual form of improv maybe wasn't like perfect. Like there were definitely flaws.
Yeah.
But as far as a comedy show is concerned, we hit home runs every time.
Yeah, it sounds like you would.
Yeah. It just turned into mostly, this is actually why I think me, you, and Sam would be amazing at it. Because it immediately just turned into us being like somebody would go out and be like, I'm this person doing this. And the next person out, mostly, it may have just been me, but I was just like, what can I do to make them regret those decisions immediately?
Yeah, yeah.
And you go out and you say it and you could just, it always does pretty well, but then it gets really funny because you can see that the two of us are like fighting to be like, no, don't do this to me right now. And like, it's fun because it really just turned into, it was like a half stand up, half improv thing. It's like, we would just start making fun of each other.
Right.
And like, it was great.
If you can get us into an indie cage match at UCB East.
Oh no, that's then, like a, there's like a three, it's like a three, no,
year?
Not three, it's like a, it's over a year waiting list to get on that. It's insane.
Put our name in that bucket.
You can't even put your name in the bucket unless you're an established team who's been around and performing together as a team for
that's
like
crazy.
A certain amount of time. Like that's a 2 year commitment just to get there to that point. Once in a while, if you show up with your whole team, you can put your name in once in a while and they will pull. And if your whole team is there and you're in there, you can do it. And I won once, but that's a real gamble.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You think you'll ever get into improv again?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Who knows? Maybe. Maybe if like Amy Poehler calls and she's like, hey, Brian, we need... Are you available to do ASCAT this Sunday? I'll be like, I think I can move some things around.
We're recording on Sunday, and you cannot reschedule. That's actually, you are the other host, co-host to Ufology, the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
And I've said the same thing to Sam. I'll say it to you. I've said it to both you guys on the other two episodes you were here for. You guys are the ones who like helped me start this network. Without you guys, there is no network.
Right. I think that's Sam, though. I think Sam is really the driver of this boat.
Sam got the idea
He had the idea, yeah.
He made it, like, he had an idea, and he gave it to me, and I was like, all right, but even when, so I was on, like, a manic high, he was like, I'm gonna do a podcast network, and he's like, okay, I want to do this, and he sent me a proposal, and at the time, I was like, how do I tell him I was crazy, and that this is not gonna happen?
Yeah.
And as time went on, I was like, oh, no, and then he was like, yeah, me and Brian are ready to go, and I was like, what? There's two people now? Oh, no. And then I was like, all right, I can do this. We'll record. We'll see what happens. Yeah. And I recorded. And I was like, oh, I do this now. Like, this is great. This was so much fun. It was awesome.
How long did you have all of this equipment before you started the network?
That's really funny. I just talked about that for the first time to anyone. I had
on this podcast?
Not even on the podcast, just to my roommate.
Okay, great.
Because it was kind of embarrassing. I had the equipment for 2 years before I posted the first podcast.
Oh, dang.
So I had it. I love podcasting. I listened to it for years. I was like, oh, I can do this. I have a knowledge of acoustics and how I can figure out, like, how to record. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
And because I like gear, I went a little overboard, but I was happy with it. Like, I was very happy with all the stuff. However, when it came to starting to produce and, like, make the stuff, I was terrified. I was like, there's no way I have any ideas worth listening to. It was a confidence thing. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
A year in, that's when I was like, I need to do something. So I got a couple friends together. We sat down and we started recording. And even that, oh man, that's actually almost 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a year, and like 20 episodes later, I went back and I started releasing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you've listened to any of the first ones.
I think I did listen to one of the first ones.
Especially the first three. When I was lucky enough to have three of my closest friends come and be like, help me get this, help me figure this out. Because I don't do well thinking about stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to say that. I said that incorrectly. It's like, I learn the most by doing. So if not, I'll think about it. I'll have a great idea and I'll put it down on paper. But then I'll look at it an hour later and be like, that's dumb. And like, throw it out.
Yeah.
But if I do it, I mean, look at the intros. I had started doing intros with the people, like my guest, because I would sit in my room and record 20 of them.
Right.
They were all the same, but I deleted them. So like, oh, that's terrible. I said, it was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was almost 2 years. And the main reason I started posting was the ones I did with my three friends were great. It was a lot of fun. I was like, oh, I have all this, like, they took the time, I should put stuff out. And then I started listening to some of the one-on-ones that I had with other comedians. And I was like, oh, people were open. I was like, these are very interesting. I need to put them out. So I started putting them out. And when I started putting them out, that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to start recording more. And then that's when I started really finding the structure and all that. And the other reason I'm so happy with Ufology is, like, between you and Sam, like, I'm meeting all these comedians who I poach. And then I get them on my podcast. And if I'm fast enough, I also post it before you guys.
You post it before us almost all the time.
The thing is, I had so many episodes, and then there was like a four. No, that's too much. Maybe like a 6 week, month and a half, 2 month period in which it was like wedding, 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 wedding.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
right.
I went from being in front to being just up on time.
Yeah.
And so, like, the last couple of weeks, I was sitting down with people on Monday night and posting as soon as they left.
Oh, really?
Like, I would put it up and then it would post like a couple hours later, which is usually like midnight on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And like ready to go. I'm hoping. Actually, I recorded on Wednesday and I was like, great, I'm going to be ahead of the game. This is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We were closing. We already did our plugs and I was about to say goodbye and my computer died.
Oh, so you lost everything?
And we lost it. So at first I was like, shit. Oh, it's saved. This is great. And it wouldn't load. And then I realized all it saved was the screen. That so there was sucks. Actually no data.
Who was the guest?
Ben Rosen.
Okay.
But it was really funny. He thought it was hilarious. Well, really? Not really, but he was super supportive and he's like, he's a friend of mine. And
yeah. There's not much you can do. Like, you can't be angry, but
exactly. But it's like, it's tough because I know everyone has such strict schedules and like everyone has so much time, but we caught up and we ended up recording for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, whatever. It was great catching up. Let's do it next week.
Yeah.
So we're trying to like schedule again for this coming week to sit down and record. but I was this close to being ahead, and now this episode will be up in like 2 days.
Rad. I do like, because like we're on we just released episode 10 of UFOlogy, and the most recent two that we recorded, I think, are the best ones we've recorded, just because like we're getting better at hosting, which is like, which I knew the first one I was going to be garbage, and I kind of was when I listened back to it. And so like it's a learning process. I am one of those people that like learns as they do.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it.
And you, even if you listen to the first, also the technical stuff has gotten way better, and like we're having more fun with it. Just everything, the whole UFOlogy is doing great. It's so much fun, and it's just getting better and better every week.
Somebody, some like weird, I don't want to say weird, but some like stranger on like followed us on Instagram today.
Yeah,
like the UFOlogy account, and I'm like, I wonder if this kid knows that like is followed us because he's a fan of the podcast and not just like some bot or something like that. That would be insane to have someone follow UFOlogy because they're a fan of the podcast.
You're gonna see it starts happening. Like,
that's crazy.
Since I started recording, my Twitter following has gone from like 80 to 120.
Rad.
And most of them are guests from this podcast and yours. But they're every couple of weeks, like somebody just jumps on, and it's like because of the podcast. And there are other people who also join. It's like, I'm a podcast like promoter or something like that. I'm like, so they've heard the podcast or something like that. But it's like also those people just want to be guests and just have a lot of friends. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, we are the voice of this generation, I think, is what I'm calling it.
UFOlogy as a whole,
both of us. Like that. Bear with Leif and UFOlogy.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're a voice of the nation. Dual voices.
Yeah, we're the voice of you. POD.
Oh, we are
sweet POD.
Screwed.
Reference.
We are screwed.
Youth of the nation, I think, is
the
that
youth,
song.
The youth of the nation. I don't have no idea. POD.
Yeah, have you heard that song?
No.
It was used in the movie Blue Crush.
I had a lot of friends who were surfers, and they were very upset with that movie, so I was never allowed to watch it. they would not allow
it. Are you still friends with them?
Yeah, some of my closest friends.
Oh shit. Yeah. I was gonna say, if you weren't, you can watch it now, but
I could probably watch it now. It's done its damage. They were just upset because when it came out, it made a lot of new surfers like go out, and they were just in the way, so they hated it. And because
that's funny,
I was around them, I was like, I guess I hate it too, guys.
I would have definitely have gone out surfing if I lived near a beach when that movie came out. I would have been one of those people that your friends hated.
Yeah.
I would have blasted POD from my little boombox.
Oh, so good. Oh man, I had a question, then I was totally gone. What question was I gonna ask?
How does it feel to be a voice of this generation?
Well, Brian, it's funny that you should ask that. It feels great. How about you?
It feels great.
Cool. See you guys next week. Bye. Damn it. I totally got distracted. I actually had a very good idea, and now it's gone. Oh, well. Yep, I was hoping I had to buy time, and now it's totally gone. I don't even know what to do. What should we talk about, Brian? I'm lost of words right now.
Let's see.
Do you have any hard outs?
What do you mean?
Like, you got to get out of here?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Cool.
I got it. My hard out is right now.
Oh, look at the time. You got to go. I'm sorry.
I got to bounce.
One was too sad. You're out. good. Just want to keep track of time. I always forget to ask people that, and like 2 hours later, I'm like, "Hey, it's been great."
Yeah,
and they find because
no one's
here
to
hours.
Do the thing that you normally do when you're.
Yeah, to keep track of time. Yeah. So you have no idea. We're at about 30 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, time flies.
I've never talked this much.
you're a pretty quiet guy, which is why I was very excited to have you on.
I am very quiet. I'm not good in groups.
Me neither.
If it's a group, I'll just be like, I don't know when I should jump in.
Yep, I just sit in the corner. I will even if it's a circle, I will make a corner to stand.
Yeah, if it's a circle, I'm fucked.
And just kind of like looking over everyone's shoulder, still there. People get upset with me. They're like, "You're making things weird." I'm just like, I have nothing to contribute right now.
But yo, if your group needs a laugher, I am that person.
That I'm right there.
Invite
me
into your circle.
Yeah, I will do it. And then it's funny too, because when you're with comedians, you obviously see the person who's laughing, and then the attention goes there.
Yeah.
And then they just make me laugh for a while. And then they're just like, all right.
But the laugh will be very awkward a little bit.
Oh, mine, like, the nice thing, like, mine's genuine. I find everything way too funny. It's real bad. People always say it's like when you start doing comedy, like your laughs start dying down.
My laugh has changed. I've gone through like 20 different laughs since I've started comedy.
I've gone through many different laughs, but it's like I still laugh a lot. People say like you just laugh out loud less.
Uh-huh.
I need that to happen because I will go home and my face will hurt because I'm smiling too much.
Yeah.
And like my mouth will be dry because of all the laughing. Like,
I laugh more. I laugh out loud way more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Is it all genuine laughter?
For the most part, I'd say 90% yes.
Okay.
The other 10% is like, it's more of a showing an acknowledgement that I find something funny.
Yeah, which is important, I think. I do that a lot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I laugh. It's great. I used to just like be one of those quiet laughers and like laugh, just like let out air very heavily.
Oh, yep.
Like, and yeah, or like,
yeah, just it was almost more just like a bouncing bouncing my body up and down be like, I heard you. It was funny. But
so are your parents quiet laughers too?
My dad will laugh. You'll hear him a mile away.
Oh, he has a big belly
and
laugh.
And my mom will laugh, but it's usually way quieter and like very like.
My parents are pretty quiet laughers, and I think that's where I picked it up.
Yeah. Mine goes back and forth. I mean, for the most part, my laugh is annoying. I've been trying to make it quiet because I have a loud laugh too.
Yeah.
It's real annoying. Like my brother has it the worst. If he laughs, you can hear him. I literally heard him a quarter of the mile away. He was inside at Christmas Eve. He was inside my cousin's house, and I could hear a sound that was like, that sounds familiar. And I stopped. I was walking there from the bus stop, and I stopped and like, listened. I was like, oh my God, that's my brother. I thought he was out back. He was inside the house.
That's
like the
terrifying.
Guy has. I mean, he's like 6'4", 6'3". Like, he's a very tall, big dude.
Yeah.
And which just adds to the bass and the, like, it will shake shake you to the core when he starts laughing.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. But at the same time, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
to
it
make
would probably
him
be
laugh.
Great to make him. Yeah, you would just, like, fill up with so much.
Oh my God, it's
approval.
I made him. My new favorite thing is, like, we have all these family weddings coming up.
Yeah.
And my new favorite thing is trying to make him laugh during the service. because it's him. You can't make the it's obviously him laughing, and it's just so loud.
He's gonna ruin the wedding.
Yep, yes he is. We were at a wedding recently, and like it was good timing because the priest made a real bad joke. It was during the service, you're supposed to hold your hand out to like,
oh yeah,
in
Catholic service.
Possibly. I think so. I'm not positive, but it's almost like a stop for those of you listening at home and can't see me. I'm like, kind of like putting my hand out like, hey, stop. But since it's so close to the old Heil from World War II, he made a Nazi joke.
And the priest?
It died. Yeah. And it
that
died.
Priest is hilarious.
I wish. Was doing fine. He was killing it leading up to this. And I think that's where he got the confidence, and he did it, and no one laughed.
Do you remember his exact words?
Was he because it was like just subtle enough that some people didn't get it, but other people, like my brother's like, did he just make a Nazi joke? Because he was saying, he's like, so you want to put your hand out, like I was kind of describing, she was like putting it out and like with your palm out and straight, not... We're not heiling, or we're not like saluting anyone. That's when he did the like the old Heil.
He actually went like that?
Yeah. Well, he didn't like do the whole motion, but it's like, he's like, we're doing this, not that.
Oh, and
it's
okay.
It was obvious. Like it was a joke. And you could kind of tell, like it was the beat. Like, you could pick out how he was making, when he was making his jokes.
Right.
And I was like waiting for it, and when it came out, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I grew up
failed.
I grew up Catholic, and so I had to like go to a lot of church services throughout school.
Yeah.
And we had to do that a lot, and it's like, why? Why did people start doing that? It's so close to the Heil Hitler.
I mean,
thing.
I'm sure the Heil Hitler, the salute came way after that. And it's just like one of those things.
Oh, really? You
like,
think? I feel like it started after. I feel like it started in like 94. People started doing that.
I don't think so. I'm sure that's been around for thousands of
really?
Years.
Really? Okay.
Like getting passed down. I mean, maybe not. I have no
nothing
Hitler
about Catholic?
Him. No clue.
Okay, maybe he was.
It's a possibility. He was definitely Christian. Actually, I don't even know that.
Mm.
I don't know what his deal was.
Shout out to
shout out to that priest who made a real bad joke.
Yeah, Father Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, so my brother was already like, he was like, did he just make a Hitler joke?
Yeah,
and we were doing this thing where I would do an impression of someone who tried not to sneeze because mm-hmm. I read somewhere that there's. The guy who runs WWF doesn't sneeze.
Okay.
I think I've been talking about it nonstop because I'm fascinated by that. But I have an impression of what that looks like. So when he said that, I just quietly looked over him and just went, hum! And he lost it. So in this already, like, you could hear a pin drop. And then all of a sudden, you just hear this booming laughter. And everyone just kind of, like, turns around. And we were, like, in the back. And I lost it. It was the greatest day of my life. So now the new thing is I have to try and make my brother laugh every time we're at a wedding together.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I hope you're successful.
Thank you. It's easy. He's a big fan of laughing and like pretty like I know to say the right thing. Honestly, if I just do that now, he'll start laughing.
You need to get him on this podcast.
I have.
Oh.
Yeah, there was an episode in which
episode
I do not remember. No. Just a couple weeks ago, what we did is I had him on and he actually interviewed me.
Oh, so okay. Kind of I saw your Facebook post about this then.
Yeah, because I was just like, I wanted to have him on because I thought it'd be funny because I have a tendency to kind of tell the same stories.
Yeah.
To end up accidentally telling those stories, but then him being like, no, you're an idiot. Like, that's not how it went at all. And it was great. But then he also did a great job interviewing me, like very NPR-ish.
That's cool. Did you interview here in Area 51?
Area 51. No, we're not at Area 50. This is the Thunderdome. Please.
Did you interview here or did you go back home to interview him?
I was at my mom's house and we interviewed. I like brought all the stuff home.
I can't imagine like my comedy life and like my home life are so separate that like I can't imagine the two overlapping.
For you also, there's also the physical distance.
Yeah.
It was weird and it was very different, which is why I wanted to do it because it's very strange. Like people have been like, oh, you should like have your mom on. And at first I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. Now I'm just kind of like, probably not because
it'd
that
be fun
crossover.
For your mom's siblings.
I she would probably enjoy it, but it's like she's not a comedian. She would just answer the question and be like, so mom, how did
it would just be like,
how'd you get into being a paralegal? It's like, well, I needed a job and I got one.
It'd just be like talking to your mom on like, a long drive when the radio doesn't work.
Exactly. But she would, knowing her, like, this, it's terrifying the first time you do like a podcast. And
that
I saw it again today. Like, it's the guest of the podcast I recorded earlier had never even heard of a podcast.
Yeah.
He's from Spain. It's just not a very popular thing over there. And he was, for the first 10 minutes, was just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
This is very different. It's very new. And
did
I think
say
when
that
you turn
on the podcast?
On, no. But because we were talking, he's like, I'm really nervous. I don't know what to do. This is very strange. And it's hard to explain to someone. Just be like, just be you. Just don't. It's not you're not a character. You're not a weird thing. You don't have to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old adage like, hey, comedy is truth. Just be yourself. The comedy will come out and it will be funny. Or maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just be very interesting. But it's like, be yourself.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling my mom would just be like waiting for the zingers.
Yeah.
But her zingers are always just kind of like, oh, mom, you're trying. It's okay.
That's so one of my new goals, jokingly brought up the last time that we recorded an episode of UFOlogy, was to get somebody to cry. So now I kind of want somebody to cry on air.
Oh my god.
I just want us to get like really
like
deep.
Sad or oh so
just
okay.
Like emotional.
I thought you were like you and Sam were gonna berate them.
Oh no. No.
Which one? It would be funny to see you two do that.
We wouldn't be able to pull it off. Yeah. They would easily just like crush us, whoever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, they'd just be like, all right.
Yeah,
and
we're
then
very
they would
weak.
Crush you. Yeah. Oh, no,
emotionally,
you guys are very nice.
Emotionally
that's
and physically.
Like, I, yeah, no, you guys are so nice. That would be hilarious, though. I was like, the first thing when you said that, I was like picturing like Jake Frommer, Hannah Boone, shout out to you guys, and Albert Kirchner and Patrick Hacey. Those four, I could see those four making you guys cry.
If all four of them just cry. Like circled around us, yeah, instantly. Yeah.
And that, I feel like that's all, they wouldn't even have to do that. I feel like even if the episodes were more than an hour long, like,
they would eventually.
One of us would have started crying.
Oh, for sure.
Because, yeah, they are hilarious and brutal in the funniest way possible, but they can cut you to the core if they wanted
they're,
to.
Yeah, they're
and
the
I
best.
Love all four of them. They are four of my favorite comedians.
Yeah,
they're
monsters.
Hilarious. Oh, total monsters. yeah. Even just hanging out last night, they were just real mean to Jake.
Oh, really? I wasn't downstairs. So happy. Were they really mean?
No, we were just hanging out afterwards, and like Jake was just like, man, my friends are the worst people. And everyone's like, oh, shut up, go eat something. And
yeah,
even
he
when
lost.
He walked away, everyone was yelling at him. I couldn't stop laughing.
He
it
lost
was
a lot of weight.
Did he?
It looked like it.
Oh, I mean,
from the
looked,
last time I saw him,
he looked good. I know that.
He,
sorry,
I think it was like not, I think it was, I don't know why I'm bringing this up.
I don't know.
He just
he was gone for a month, and it was good to see him. I was very excited. Yeah, he. That's what he said. He didn't
he
eat
said
a lot.
He
was always so busy.
Oh, he was so busy. I thought he just like didn't. They ran out of tour money, and they.
Oh, that's a possibility too. Like save some money, but yeah. It's he always said he's like they were always so busy, and it's like when he wasn't busy, he just kind of just slept and like caught up on sleep.
Right.
So he was just like always in the van driving.
Yeah.
So welcome to the Jake Cast. All we do is talk about what Jake Fromm is doing.
Yeah, let's plug his. Photography website.
Oh, we should.
No, unless he gives us a discount. 50% discount, Jake, and we'll plug your photography
there
website.
There you go. You heard it here. Ultimatum. You give us 50% off.
I need those headshots.
Start. Yeah. Ooh, don't we?
Ugh.
Yeah. They are expensive. Also, I don't. I guess eventually I will actually need them.
I don't.
But they're like $400 to get headshots. And I was like, I know people who have smartphones.
Yeah.
That's fine, right?
I don't feel comfortable paying for headshots.
I can't spend that much on headshots.
I don't feel comfortable having a headshot personally.
Why is that? Now I'm very intrigued. Go
I don't
on.
Know. It just feels like such a... not comedy thing to do.
I agree. That's like
but
my
I get why people
part
have
of
them
it. Yeah, because at some point like as our career continues and we get to do bigger and bigger things, I think people will start wanting specific things from your picture. But right. I know a few people have gone by with just like an okay picture from a decent camera of person. Also, at this point, like, I know enough photographers, like, I'll just, like, run and be like, hey, can you take a quick picture of me? Or, like, trick them into, like, taking one picture. Be like, why are you wearing a suit? Don't ask questions. And then there you go. Like, today, somebody took a really good picture, and I was like, oh, that, if I tomorrow needed a headshot, which I don't, I'm nowhere near that. I now have one.
Your wedding picture, like the at the wedding that you're going to,
that's
like
be
that,
hilarious.
That's your headshot.
As they're trying to take a picture of the bride and the groom, I just run by and jump in front and run away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like have a microphone. You bring a microphone to the wedding ceremony.
Like, what is that for? Don't worry about it, guys. Jesus. Oh, that would be hilarious. But yeah, no, that's the part of comedy I don't like, and I'm still getting used to it. I think the podcast is helping me, like the business side.
Sure.
And I still like producing, but now I'm getting to the point like I need to start getting venues for shows and doing stuff like that. And that's not fun. And it's a
pain. Yeah. But I don't know. But yeah. I like finding venues that like are kind of random and new.
Yeah,
like that's kind of fun.
That's the best. There's a couple bars opening up locally, and I'm like, I'll like stick like go up to the window and look in, see if there's any performance space.
Yeah.
There's a few places I need to try a little bit harder and like getting in contact with. But it's like again, it's like that's I just want to tell jokes on stage, but it's like it you can't to do shows. You need to have shows.
You have roof access.
Yeah, we do.
You should have done a roof show during the summer.
During the winter would be funnier. It'd be way funnier.
It would be funnier.
Who was I talking to about that? That was the idea, and I loved it. And it's like, just, I want a show every week or like every month outside, no matter what the weather is.
That's
and
funny.
Just make
that's
people
really funny.
Like bend to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four people may find that entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them. But
it'd be
I
a
think
good
be
photo
so
op if like somebody's performing in like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like just totally bundled up. Like,
yeah.
All that, all you can see is like
yeah.
a little bit of their mouth and their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be hilarious. I thought it'd be really funny. And like but that's also like the outdoors person in me.
Right.
And, like that's not a city thing. No one's going to be into that. People move to the city because they hate that stuff.
People get weird. During the winter, people get like weird and desperate.
Oh, well,
yeah.
They're
Canadians
like, also just love content.
That's
like,
true.
They will do it.
But
they'll
also, like, I feel like the normal, like your average New York citizen is like in June and April when it's like it's been like cold and dark for 3 months. They can't make smart decisions.
Yeah.
So they'll go see a comedy show outside in 4 feet of snow.
It would be funny. Also, just to find the people who'd want to do that. Like, I would be the first person to be like, yeah, I want to do comedy in 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, everybody would be down
That'd
to
be
do
funny.
It.
Yeah, maybe I will do that, and no one will come. So keep your eyes open to that show. It may not happen.
You don't even need posters. You just write in the snow, like, free comedy show, Saturday.
Or even better, I'll go make snowmen holding signs everywhere out through the
city.
Oh,
shit. That would be so... I would help you do that.
We should just do that for a regular show that we're
doing.
Yeah!
Oh, man.
That'd be such like a weird...
It would get...
marketing craze.
Yeah.
And I think people
would
be into it.
I'm very on board with
this.
Let's
do that. All right. So everyone listening, pretend you didn't
hear
that.
Yeah, cut this part out.
And we'll figure it out. But all right, we're at 46 minutes. I mean, we could talk nonstop.
This is it's been an episode of Lost.
Has Lost 40 minutes?
Yeah, about.
Oh, fair.
42, 43.
We've talked about this a little bit. You're a fan of Lost, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
No.
That's where I'm at too. What season did you lose it?
I lost it.
Or did you
the
get
last
it?
Season?
Last season. Okay. So when it took like a spoiler alert, a more spiritual kind of like,
I felt like there was so much to wrap up that the story suddenly made no sense.
It was rough. When they started the first few seasons, when it was like super sci-fi and like you're discovering stuff, nothing but on the island, I'm like, I'm on board.
Right.
Even when it started doing like time traveling, as much as I love time travel, and
I was
stuff,
very on board for that.
That's when I started losing it. So I'm just like, okay, but now we're starting to getting a little too complicated. It's like, I need to start seeing it and that, but I was still on board because it was cool to see them go back and then get the other people back.
Yeah.
But it was when they made it back to mainland, some of them did.
Yeah.
That's
when
I was like, I'm done with this. I was very disinterested.
So intrigued by that. Because I don't know. It's just interesting to think of like, what would you be like if you like experienced this thing? Like, how do you go back to a normal life? You can't.
That is true. That part was, I guess it was the part they're like, we're going back. And I was like, Jesus.
I was like, you're idiots. Why would you do that? You know what's there. But I guess at the time I was very against that decision, but now I get it. Now I'm like, you got to go back.
They had to, especially because it was the main, like a lot of the main characters. And I was still even on board. It was like, it was fine. I actually thought they ended it fine. They made it too complex.
I honestly don't remember how it ended.
Oh, like it basically ended with them being like in a room in a church being like,
oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
But I remember
nothing from the final season.
The final season, that again, like that's, I was losing it more and more. Just like,
nothing sticks out to me.
Yeah, it got a little convoluted for my like, but the last episode I was actually on board. I know they didn't explain a lot, but the thing is how they ended it helped explain most of the stuff. Where they're like in purgatory basically,
right?
And I was like,
which
all
is not
right.
Which Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse have said is not what it is,
sure. And I wouldn't be surprised. I just use that because that's like the word that comes to mind.
Yeah,
no, it's not supposed to be that, it's supposed to be something else,
right?
It's just the easiest word. Because, like, it's
right.
And that's the thing.
Limbo?
Like, limbo, exactly. Like, it, yeah. And it's, I don't even think they were going for that, honestly. They were just, I think.
But it is pretty shitty of them to be like, it's not purgatory, but let's put them in a church.
That's,
and have them all dressed
that's
up.
That's why I say purgatory. I'm like, it's, they, yeah, come on.
Yeah,
come
get, on. Get your shit together. Yeah. Don't do that.
You can't say, you can't do that to
you
us.
You can't do that and then do another thing. Yeah.
But I really, I enjoyed the whole show. I was a fan.
Charlie drowning? That episode
painful.
Was so good.
Yeah, that was so good. But the first few seasons where it was like super sci-fi and it was like,
yeah,
that I was 300% on board. I was like, yeah, this is the greatest show ever.
As
I said, then I started getting a little more convoluted, but those were some of the best. The experience was what it was. Like, it was so fun to watch.
It was must-see TV.
Well, that's the thing.
Tuesday?
I watched all of it between, like, at the end of the final season. I never watched it.
Oh, so you started watching at the end of the final season.
Girlfriend at the time binged watched it, and it got to the point that we couldn't stop. Like, it was real bad.
Yeah,
for,
like,
2 weeks, that's all we did.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I had the most fucked up dreams for weeks after that, because that's all we did. That's like all my energy was put into that and teaching. We were in Korea at the time too.
Okay.
Teaching. So it was like teaching and then Lost all the time.
That's great.
It was real fucked up.
That's cool.
It was so much fun.
Was there a lot of advertisements for, did you watch it? Did you watch the season, the final season? Like, did they air that in?
No,
Korea?
We ended up, we basically finished and then just illegally watched it like a couple hours after it came out, and then we were done. We caught up to that point and then we just watched it, the last one, just so before the internet could ruin it, and before but still after long enough that it was online.
I got into it when it was airing live in its second season, so I lived by a Blockbuster at the time, so I went to Blockbuster and like rented the physical copies of the first season, and
that
I just,
Blockbuster
like,
made it pretty late in its run.
Yeah,
you did a good job.
No,
that's
that Blockbuster.
One of the last ones.
I applied to that work at that Blockbuster every summer of high school and college. Never got an interview.
Oh,
But I was their biggest supporter. I was in there every day.
Oh my god, I've been saying it for so long. I missed that because I still remember in high school, me and my friends would be like, "What are we gonna do?" I don't know. We'd pile into a car, go to Blockbuster, spend an hour, or even if it's just like on a date, like going out with the person and like spending an hour finding the right movie, get the movie, go back and watch it, and it's like, yes, you see the movie, which you now have on Netflix or iTunes or any of that, but it was also the experience of like getting up, going, looking, finding the movie, the arguments and the conversations you have looking for the movie, and just like seeing weird things that you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Like a huge thing of popcorn that
exactly.
You don't need
the candy and stuff. Because when you wait in line, you wait next to the candy, you're like, well, I can't not buy candy. And I miss it so much. Like,
I miss
love
it.
The whole process.
It was very, for some reason, because I went in there so much, I had a lot of anxiety going in there, because I was like, what are they thinking of me that I'm in here like every other day?
Yeah. I knew far too many of them by
name. And I was like super quiet, so I like didn't strike up any conversation. I was just like, thank you. And then I just like left. I ran out.
For a while, I had their monthly plan. I would just go in every day and like be like, here's
another
movie.
What,
like,
exactly.
You watched it already? Be like,
when they'll turn it in, get a new one. Yeah.
Because it would be so cheap.
I watched a lot of good stuff, but then I also just rewatched a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, I saw a lot of old stuff. I caught up on new stuff. I would look through like the old horror sections or new, just, and like pick out stuff I would never see before. But since it was physically in front of me, I kind of like got to hold it and look at it, read the back, see what's going on, give it a try. And I genuinely missed that, because the whole experience is so much like, I watch more movies now and it's way more convenient.
Yeah.
But I miss that being almost like a date option.
Yeah. Did you have Warehouse Video here?
No.
That was where my family and I would rent videos when I was like a child in Arizona.
Nice.
There was like this thing called Warehouse Video. And in the very back, they had, like, VHS tapes to rent, but in the front, it was just, like, a Best Buy, like the DVD.
Wow.
But only, like, the DVD or like CD movie section of Best Buy.
Sure. Yeah. No, we had Blockbuster. We had for a while. We had a Hollywood Video.
We had that. I don't know why we didn't
and
use
then
that.
ShopRite would just rent movies.
Right.
So we just go there all the time. Yeah. Grocery stores.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah. I still remember when like CDs came out and people were like, or like DVDs, I should say.
Yeah.
And it was like that small section. I was like, what? That's crazy.
One time my sister and I think we had like a day off from school. So it was like one of those like Monday holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So we like very excitedly went to one of the grocery stores to rent a movie. And we were excited to watch like Bad Boys 2, I think, or Bad, no, it was the first Bad Boys, but they gave us the wrong tape. They gave us La Familia with Jimmy Smith, and it's just like, it's just a drama movie about this family making it in America, and we just watched that instead.
Amazing.
And we ended
up
loving
it too. I've accidentally been like, well, I guess I'm watching this.
Yeah, it's like we didn't have a car, so we were just like, and we were home, so we were just like, I guess we're just gonna watch this movie.
Yeah,
called La Familia.
That's amazing.
That neither of us chose.
Oh, so good. I miss that. I do. Yeah. But all right, we're almost at an hour. So are you ready for the definitive interview?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if you are. I don't know what that comes. Do you have your phone on you?
I've been ready.
Because you are gonna need it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I do.
All right. First question. What was your last tweet?
Oh, shit. I've been tweeting a lot lately.
I'm still slowly working my way into tweeting regularly. I'm not good at it. Go
right.
For it.
Last night, a couple got engaged on stage at a Danny Brown concert. And another couple performed oral sex on stage at a Josh Groban concert. Shout out to...
I like that. That's awesome.
Are you familiar with Danny Brown?
No.
There was an incident where he, like, it was that got, like, a lot of media attention about how, like, he... Somebody performed fellatio on him at a concert on stage.
Jesus.
Yeah, this was a few years ago.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a little too much.
So that's why just to give some I'm not just like randomly, you know, spewing out oral sex jokes. Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah, there's some legs to that.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. I mean, even if it was just an oral sex joke, I still think that was pretty funny. But now that there's context, way better.
Thank you.
Question number two. What is the movie you have seen the most?
Oh. I was reaching for my phone again.
Yeah, no, you're good for a while.
Ooh, okay, movie I've seen the most. It might be Adventures in Babysitting.
Nice, okay.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I think I saw it maybe once a long time ago. Like, I don't really remember it, but I know I know of it.
I think,
can say that.
Yeah, all right, shout out to Warehouse Video again. That was one of those movies that, like, as a kid, we would rent almost every weekend. Like, my parents would get a movie that they were gonna watch, and then, like, me and my sister would be like, we're just gonna rent Adventures in Babysitting
one
again.
and again. Oh my god, I do that all the time.
And then they recently started like playing it during the day on VH1. So, like, before I moved away from home, I would like rewatch it on VH1 again.
That's
too.
So funny. Do you think you could put a number to that?
Oof. I'd say 80s, 90s.
Nice. There it is. Most people, like, the other day I was talking to someone and they told me the movie that they saw. And then I was like, oh, can you put a number on it? And they got, like, very shy. They were like, 7? I was like, what? And they're just like, I know, it's so weird. I'm like, no, that's not a lot at all. And he's like, oh. And then he immediately opened up. He's like, it's probably closer to like 12 or 15. And I was like, nope, you're still nowhere near it. And like, I've said it a million times and I'll say it again. Spaceballs, easily over 100 times.
Oh, dang.
Like, I was obsessed with it. And I have a very, like, I can be very obsessive. So it's like, I would watch it a few times in a day.
Yeah.
At a very young age, too.
Yeah.
But that makes me happy. Thank you. What is the magic word?
Please.
I like it. All right. You can time travel. When, why, and where?
When? Ooh, 4 years from now, so 2020.
Okay.
Why? To eat a dinner, eat a good meal with somebody, with myself, I guess.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Yeah. I like that.
Just like eat, bond over like Jack in the Box or something.
I like that.
Good, when, good why, answer. And where? When, why, where? Yeah, Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
All right. How's my hair?
It's great.
Thank you.
It's great because you have hair and then you've also been working on your facial hair.
That checks
out. So now
out.
You that answer has two parts.
It does. I even have it. How's my hair? Beard. But everyone always brings it up.
Oh, okay.
Like, there you go. There's one.
Yeah.
Who is right?
Me.
Good news. I'm a genie. You have 3 wishes and 10 seconds. Go.
Well, all right. So last time Sam and I answered this question, did he give the same answers that he did last time?
One of them, I think.
Because we both said abs. We
yeah, both
said...
of you were... Yeah, I gave you guys basically 6 wishes and you both just doubled down on the same one.
We both said last time, we both said abs, we both said a sweet like apartment in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and we both said like a job in comedy. I'll still go abs because I haven't made any progress on that.
I like how that's the one that stays. abs.
Wait, if you're a genie, any wishes? Abs. You know,
I mean, time is up, like way, way up, but keep going.
Oh, there's a time limit on this?
10 seconds. 3 wishes,
oh,
10
shit.
Seconds.
Oh,
you're good. I love telling this to people. And like, first I'm like, I'm a genie. People are like, okay. And like, you have 3 wishes. People are like, okay. I'm like 10 seconds. And you could just tell, like I've on several interviews by 10 seconds. No, they've said nothing.
Yeah. They're it's so
totally,
much pressure.
It's so much.
Cause it feels like this question is like going to define who you are. Like you could easily pick this question apart and be like, oh, this person, like that's what this person cares about. All right. Well, abs, no more colds. And,
okay.
I don't like being sick. And
me neither. I hate it. For the first time in 2 months, I'm healthy. It's been insane. I feel so good. And I'm going to fuck it up. I'm sure I'll like stay up too late tonight and then it's over.
Yeah. It just, oof. I feel you on that.
Yeah. It's going to be,
And a always living near a Taco Bell.
I like it. The correct answer is money. More money.
Money's lame. I don't know. You can cut that out. I was just trying to sound cool.
Hey, it worked. You were fine until you said you can cut that out. No, that's not true at all.
I love money. Shout out to money.
Personally, like, yeah, that's the last thing I want. But I just think that's funny to say that.
Yeah, it's like, funny.
Because like in reality, I would not want that at all.
I'll take some money.
I mean, less debt's always great, but... all right. Oh, no, where... Oh, what was your last Google search?
Ooh, mine's it might be something related to that tweet.
Yeah, mine's always so boring. Mine is always looking up directions. I did that like 3 times today. Before that, my last Google search was... Oh, I can't remember now. Mine was how many seasons of New Girl is there?
How many are there? 8?
It's 6, and then there were... Oh, no, now I don't remember.
They're still making new episodes?
Yeah, they're on the 6th season right now, I think.
My last Google search was Alphaville, which is...
Oh, it's a bar.
Yeah, it's a venue, and there's a band playing there tonight that I wanted to go see.
Cool.
Mean Jeans.
Oh, that's cool. I like the name of that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a... Yeah, they're playing there tonight. Check them out. They're on tour. I don't know. I want to go, but I don't know if I'll actually go. Going home just sounds so appealing.
Yeah.
But it's around here, right?
Alphaville, kind of.
Have you seen anything there?
I just ride my bike past it all the time.
Oh, really?
Okay. It looks like I'm not cool enough to go there.
Oh, really? It's one
of
those places?
It looks like a real cool bar. Not just, I go by and I always feel like it's like just like a lot of like jean jackets and leather jackets. And
okay.
It's like,
I would fit in.
I'm not great. Yeah, you'd be fine. I wouldn't. I guess I'd be fine.
No, you have that beard now.
But it's like whenever I go by there, I'm usually like in my biking stuff. Like, so I have like my like tight shorts on and like a
I feel like that's the same thing. Shirt. The people that wear tight shorts are the same people that wear jean jackets and leather jackets.
Like tight sport shorts, not like tight jean shorts. Like jean shorts, yeah. I'd be like, hey guys, what's up? They'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
Also before the beard, I just looked like a little kid. It wasn't good. Now I go, I'll probably be the oldest one there. What's the deal with like existence and stuff?
Oh man. It's, you know, we've been put on this earth by alien life as an experiment and they're just watching us.
All right, enough with the plug.
That is kind of what I believe now.
No, I'm just kidding. I like that. That's awesome. That's a good answer. So that concludes the definitive interview with Brian Bahi.
Rad.
Would you like to play a game?
Yes.
All right. We're going to play Pitch It.
Okay.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
What's a show you've been watching?
I've been watching my Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's like a musical.
I'm just trying to think if that would be...
What else have I been watching?
What can
we
run?
Chef's Table?
Which do you, my Crazy Ex-Girlfriend seems like there's a lot we could rhyme with, but then I was like, they're all kind of difficult.
X, Hex, Rex.
Well, don't, we can't give it away.
My, Chai, Fry.
Tie.
Tie.
All right, let's try it. Fuck it. Okay. I'm terrible at this game anyway. So, all right, so
same
my
here.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
That's me scratching my leg for the listeners.
It's really funny from this angle because he moved the mic so the sound would pick up. Like, so he like picked it up, turned it upside down, and like awkwardly held it while he scratched his leg. That was
this
awesome.
This is a Smell-O-Vision.
Smell-O-Vision. Oh, that's is that a Rocco Modern?
That's definitely a Nickelodeon thing.
Yeah, that's a Rocco Modern. No. What's the name of that show?
Team Rocket?
Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a callback from that specifically, Smell-O-Vision. Because they always did like something O, like Conglamo. I should go turn my faucet off. It's just, that's the new podcast. Just sounds with Brian Bobby and Leif. You make the sound, I go, oh, I'm going to go do this thing now.
A master of sounds.
Yeah, I like it. You're like our own Carl Winslow. Carl Winslow. What's his name? Michael Winslow. Is it Michael Winslow?
I'm pretty sure. Right. Carl Winslow is my dad. Shout out to you, Dad.
Shout out to Family Matters. What are we doing? Oh, right. My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We're playing Pitch It. Oh, boy. My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. What's the name of a character? What's the name of a character?
Oh.
Just one. Or an actress.
I don't remember, so I'm going to say Emily.
Okay. That works. It doesn't even have to be real. But okay. All right. So Emily becomes a real sloth in my Lazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Ooh.
I got another one.
Okay.
Emily moves to the
No. I think you're gonna do
the big star. Is it the big star state? In my
Texas?
Crazy Tex girlfriend.
Emily
Lone Star. Yeah.
Emily moves from Texas to Seattle, Washington, in my Hazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Or she's from Texas and moves there in my Hazy Tex Girlfriend. There we go.
That's
oh man, I'm trying to like rhyme with other words. Oh, here we go. Emily goes to the Olympics and she's performing in the Olympics in the javelin throw and other various throwing sports in my crazy ex hurl friend.
Crazy ex-girlfriend.
Oh, I got another one. Oh, I'm having the best day of my life. Go.
Go. No, you go. Oh, I don't have anything.
Emily gets a job at a juicing cafe in my crazy ex-girl blend.
Emily works at the post office in my crazy ex-girl send.
Yeah, there you go. Oh no. Oh, Emily gets a job at a bank in my crazy ex-girl lend.
Emily goes back in time to the Mesozoic era in my crazy Rex girlfriend.
Nice. Oh, I like that. Emily gets a little carried away. This is also a sequel to my lazy ex-girlfriend. So after doing pot, she started going on these like 3-day binges of much harder drugs in my I didn't even say that one. That was in my head. So you don't even know this. The first one. The first one was she smokes a lot of pot in my lazy ex-girlfriend. But I said,
you said lazy.
Yeah. My lazy ex-girlfriend. That's right. Because before I said sloth, she was like very sloth-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the sequels, she then moves on to much harder stuff in like 3-day binges in my lazy ex-girl bend.
Oh.
That one's a real reach.
Emily is a nurse helping other people in my crazy ex-girl tend.
Nice. This one's real rough, and all my Star Trek brothers and sisters out there are gonna be real upset if I fuck this up. I already fucked it up, but I'm gonna go with it anyway. Nope, I'm not. It was gonna be phazy ex-girlfriend. thinking that the teleporting was phasing, but no, that's when they say that's their little
set phasers to stun.
Yeah, phasers beam, to stun their thing.
Beam the would beam. Be.
Yeah, beam them. Yeah. I fucked that up. But I luckily saved it before I just went face first into that.
Get Emily some water on dry crazy ex-girlfriend.
There you go. I like that. I forgot about the my part. The show ends and the last episode is just going to be called Bye Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That was real dumb. Real dumb.
She experiments a little bit with another lady.
Oh, there you go.
Bye Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I like that. She is a superhero in Fly Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
She don't give a fuck on on Psy Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, that was so good. She wrestles with mortality in Die Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Ooh, she's really sad in Cry Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Cry Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She guest stars on an episode of Lie, open parentheses, to me, close parentheses, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I feel like we could generally do these all night.
Just yeah.
Like, yeah.
Now that we've unleashed that Mai is an option, yeah, this could go for
forever because we could still play around with them. So I'll do one more in Emily deals with existential crisis of several, just an existential crisis in Why Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's like also not fair for me. It's like, I want to use that one real bad. So I'm going to throw it in. Instead of just ending it, I'm going to make him come up with another one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah.
All right. Fair. That was a lot of fun. That was good. Is there anything you want to plug?
You know, everything.
Everything. Plug the stuff.
Listen to Ufology. That's spelled UFOLOGY. podcast on iTunes, please. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at UFology Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bahe, B-A-H-E, and Brian Bahe on Instagram.
Nice.
Oh, and I have a monthly show called Hyperbole.
So good.
In Astoria.
Oh, that's right. I just had your co-host on last week.
Yeah.
Man, I've had all the co-hosts.
Yeah, I co-host with Stu. He's a real good guy.
He's great. I had so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else?
Follow Albert Kirshner on Twitter at Albert Chairman. Also Albert Chairman on Instagram.
What a guy. Awesome. Yeah, guys, you know the deal. I am at Sed Leif. I'm on Instagram. I barely use it. But I make other people use it, so there's probably more stuff that I haven't even seen on it yet. But it's Bear with Leif. On the podcast
on
front. Yeah, Instagram, Bear with Leif. I don't tell anyone. I'm still getting used to the fact that I have one. I forgot I had one for a long time because I just signed up for it. And there are so many people who friended me over the last like 10 years, last couple
and they're,
years.
Yeah, they're just like,
and people are like,
oh, I am following you.
Yeah.
Rad.
But yeah, you guys, you know the deal. At Sed Leif on Instagram. Now I'm all over the place. At Sed Leif on Twitter. Bear with Leif on Instagram. Download, subscribe to the podcast. Obviously, that would mean the world to me. On top of that, I've been working on a lot of stuff. We have UFology that I'm helping produce. It's been great. I mean, Brain Machine across the board is really doing great things right now. We got UFology on episode 11 coming out this week.
Yeah.
We got 11 episodes out already. Synestalgia launched last week. We're going to have episode 3 coming up. Always Been Silly. I'm now producing their podcast. They've been around for a while, and that is a absolutely hilarious show. There's a lot of stuff going on. The webpage kind of sucks still, but I'm working on it. But check out all those podcasts. Bear with Leif, UFology, Synestalgia, and Always Been Silly. There's even more stuff coming out soon, guys. Keep your eyes peeled. And until then, I think I got everything. Yeah. Till then. I'm curious, were you actually counting, or were you just kind of like,
I think you listed 5.
That's a lot.
Spanish podcast?
Oh god, what have I done? Oh, it's not out yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so like there are 2 other projects that are on the very close horizon. But I don't want to get too carried away, because it'll just be nice when it's all out. And then the Brain Machine's doing more stuff, already involved. It's great. It's been so much fun. The podcast has been a real game changer. Brian, thank you for helping me get to this point with the Brain Machine and all that stuff. Thank you for being the guest today.
Leif, thank you for everything.
I wish I had the Golden Girls theme right now just playing in the background. Thank you for being a friend. And thank you all for listening. This whole podcast thing has been seriously like
back again.
This whole podcast thing has seriously been like a huge like life changing for the best, and it's been great. All right, thanks guys. I'll see you next week. And again, Brian, thank you. Bye guys.
Bye.